I'm Nick Spitzer. This is American Roots. Among the favorite musical sources for the Black Keys was the late blues guitarist Junior Kimbrough from the North Mississippi Hill Country. His hypnotic sound recalls West African string playing. Many drank, danced, and ate barbecue at Kimbrough's Club, Junior's Place, in Tullahoma, Mississippi. Here he is with Kenny Brown to play Old Black Maddie.
Thank you. like crazy music. He don't like rocking bands. He just wanna go to a movie show and sit there holding hands. You're so square.
Baby, I don't care.
I don't know why my heart flips. I only know it does. I wonder why I love you, baby. I guess it's just because you're so square.
Baby, I don't care.
You don't know any dance steps that I do.
Hey.
I only know I love you like I do, I do, I do, I do. I don't know why my heart blips. I only know it does. I wonder why I love you, baby. I guess it's just because you're so square.
Baby, I don't care.
I don't know why my heart flips. I only know it does. I wonder why I love you, baby. I guess it's just because you're so square.
Baby, I don't care. Baby, I don't. I don't care.
Dearest, though you're the nearest to my heart, please don't ever, oh yeah, ever say we'll part. You scold me and you were so bold. Together our love will grow old. Yeah, our love will grow old.
Dearest, the Black Keys paying homage to one of their rock heroes, Buddy Holly, from the Rave On collection. And before that, Buddy Holly in 1957. You're so square, baby, I don't care. It's a Lieber and Stoller tune. The Black Keys are drummer Patrick Carney and guitarist Dan Auerbach from Akron, Ohio. These Rubber City natives started recording their mid-fi songs in DIY style in Carney's basement. They released The Big Come Up in 2002, a mix of distorted Delta blues licks and garage rock backbeats that reached the ears of critics and hardcore fans. But the band struggled to pay the rent until their music popped up in films, TV shows, and memorable commercials. Six albums later, the Black Keys are touring arenas worldwide. We caught up with them backstage just before a show down by the Mississippi River in New Orleans. I asked about making music along the little Cuyahoga River in Akron, Ohio.
I think that growing up there, you don't really understand how it affects you because you're just in the middle of it. But, you know, since we both moved out of town, I think we realized more and more every year what impact it had. You know, we definitely had to work kind of a bit harder. You know, driving 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hours to a show, to make no money was not like a weird thing for us, because
yeah.
it didn't really cost that much to live in Akron, and wasn't any place to really play there, so you had to get out of town, you know.
You add a rubber factory to it, and it's an improvement on the town. You know what I mean? If you think about that, you can't really put a rubber factory in like Boulder, Colorado,
right?
Unless they're making like rubber shoes,
granola bars,
rubber granola.
Well, were you guys mad that the Beatles did Rubber Soul and had that title before you could use it?
Yeah, we actually were. We talked about that.
Did you really?
Yeah. The cool thing about Akron, though, is that there was a very small scene, you know, so there wasn't a lot of outside influences when you start a band. You can really just sort of do your own thing. And, you know, you don't have the latest trends or fads kind of thrown in your face, you know. I think that was all helpful in the long run.
Now, you guys both went to Firestone High together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you characterize yourselves as the hipsters, the edge, the geek? Where were you
in
the mix?
It doesn't matter what we were. We are Hall of Famers now, though. They just put us on the Firestone High School Hall of Fame.
Dan, how do you get to the blues? When did the blues enter your sense of life and hearing some of the greats that you love?
My dad always played records, and he played a lot of like the Sun House Columbia recordings and the Robert Johnson stuff. So I heard that growing up a lot, and then my uncles all played, so they would play bluegrass and folk and blues songs. So I was all around a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, and you have, it seems to me, especially loved among all of them, whether it's Sun House or Robert Johnson, you really love Junior Kimbrough.
Yeah, but you know, I always looked at Junior as sort of his own thing. Like, I don't really look at him as blues. Created his own little universe, you know, one chord, just kind of dance music, North Mississippi dance music. It's very strange music, and that's why I was attracted to it, because it was just kind of psychedelic and strange.
It is almost avant-garde while so-called primitive at the same time.
It's avant-garde by someone who's never heard the term avant-garde, which right. is what makes it so special.
Patrick, where would you say your interest in music starts?
From my father playing me, you know, his favorite music, which is, you know, the Beatles, Rolling Stones, you know, all the way through like Frank Zappa and Steely Dan, and, you know. But then my uncle's a musician, you know, my dad's brother, and he's a horn player and obsessed with like Sidney Bechet and, you know, Duke Ellington and, you know, and all that stuff, including Can and lots of 70s prog rock and.
So genres are weird things, and they sort of float through time and space and context, but is there a genre to what you guys do?
I hope not.
Yeah?
Yeah. We love all kinds of music and all different genres, and we're inspired by and borrow from them all.
How is it that you end up being just two? I mean, I know you've got other guys in studios and other settings, but really,
well,
you're
we couldn't
two.
Find anybody. honestly, we tried people out in Akron, and they either didn't work or they're just kind of lazy and wouldn't show up. So we got a record deal, and it was just two of us, and that sort of cemented things.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes to be a duo.
It's hard being. Human.
Something. the name Black Keys? I mean, I've seen them on the piano. It sounds like it's more than that.
Yeah, it's Dan's dad became friends with this guy named Alfred Moore, who's schizophrenic, mentally retarded, genius, artistically. So anyway, Chuck introduced Alfred to my dad, and my dad wrote a story about him for the local paper. So basically, Dan's dad and my dad were friends with this guy, and he used to call our homes and leave these messages that were just kind of insane. Like, Jim, I need some pipe tobacco, some Diet Coke. It's been 10,000 years since you last called me back. You know, you're D flat, you're Black Key, you're Black Key.
It's all right. Hello, how you doing? We're the Black Keys. We're from Akron, Ohio.
A name can be really, really stupid, but then you say it enough times, and it starts to become normal.
Yeah, if you really think
like.
About
can you imagine? Let's call our name Vanilla Fudge. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Or even the Beatles is kind of an awful name. The
all Pink names Floyd? Are kind of stupid until you write a good song, and then all of a sudden the name's okay.
Ask you one other thing that just fascinates me about this world of commerce we're in now, where you know a group gets on a commercial and that gets notoriety. I know you fenced with that. You've chosen not to do. I guess it was mayonnaise. I think that was probably a good decision.
You know, we made 5 records and never got any radio play except for you know small college stations.
Right.
We'd taken that definitely as far as it could have gone, so we decided to take an advertisement, and not only did we get more fans from it and sell more records, but we actually got paid money, which was nice also. So they're using songs that we recorded. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing cooler, I think, than recording a song in your basement and then hearing it on a movie. Do you know what I mean?
You know what the sun's all about when the lights go out.
Back in the old days, like say 1968 through the mid-70s, there were all these FM stations that were willing to take chances, and it was a new medium, you know, I guess equivalent to what kind of maybe the internet is today, blogs. But you could like play Captain Beefheart album at a freeform radio station, and then there'd be some kid that would hear it. And right. You know, then you get a cult following. And also, you know, we weren't like ever really cool band, like, you know, we weren't like dressing like rock stars and acting, you know.
I mean,
in a
we're
way.
Super cool now, but yeah. When we started,
all right.
All right.
We just make music that we love, and we draw on all kinds of stuff that we've heard throughout our lives. Our taste is kind of so wide open that, you know, there's no like loyalty to tradition or something.
I must admit, I can't explain any of these thoughts racing through my brain.
It's true.
Baby, I'm howling for you.
Are there icons of 50s rock and roll era that are ones you look to?
Yeah, we love 80s. All kinds of stuff, and we listen to everything. I mean, definitely in the 50s, there was some great stuff going on with early rock and roll and rockabilly and blues and R&B and. Yeah, it's a huge influence. We listened to lots of Johnny Burnett Trio when we were making the new record.
I got a love.
Just listen to you guys. I so enjoy how you've taken deep roots in all these sources and made them something new.
I hate when people are just retro. That is nauseating for me. I love old music, but I would never just want to recreate it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't relate to musicians, modern musicians, who like dress the part. I'm sure there's part of everybody that wishes it was 1955 in a certain way. It's because everyone's nostalgic for something that they've never really experienced.
You are nostalgic for at least one thing. Those
cheeseburgers?
Well, I don't know if that's nostalgia or just survival.
That's just hunger?
Yeah. No. These 1990s minivans all over
the land. That's true. That is retro. Hey!
I mean, it's recent nostalgia.
Nostalgia from the beginning of our career is what it is, because that's all when we first.
But it is also our childhood. Every one of our friends' parents had minivans, and
we all need a little nostalgia.
Had so many people come up to us and be like, "Oh my God, I learned how to drive in one of those things." Blah 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 blah.
Well, I'm talking about if Dan and I started making music sound like Ace of Base, and only wearing like skids and only watching the Cosby Show, then you know, that's what I'm talking about. There's a lot of people that kind of.
I hope that never happens to either of you guys.
I guess it would be kind of a cool idea for an album.
What do you hope for the future with Black Keys musically? Where would you like to take it?
Who knows? I mean, we're just going to do like we've always done. You know, we're just going to go into the studio and make records and then go play shows and not think about it. We don't ever do any demos or pre-production or any, we've never done that stuff, you know? So we don't know what kind of album we're gonna make until we get into the studio and start making it. And I think we're gonna just keep sort of doing it like that.
Backstage with Akron, Ohio natives Patrick Carney and Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. They call Nashville home nowadays, and that's where they recorded their 2011 album El Camino, the one with a vintage minivan on the cover. I call that nostalgia. Coming up, Chuck Berry, Tom Waits, and another band the Black Keys appreciate with rubber in their soul when American Roots returns.